Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Migration Podcast, your guide for waterfowl hunting tactics, gear, and conservation. And now, your host, Ryan Halbly.
What is up, everyone? As Johnny M. said, I'm your host, Brian Halbly. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to tune in to the Migration Waterfowl Podcast, presented by Bluebird Waterfowl. Check out their new spinning wing decoy prototype wings. They're offering a 6-wing prototype set to anyone interested in testing them out. Check them out at bluebirdwaterfowl.com or call them at 800-564-0914 and be one of the first people to get your hands on them. This episode is also brought to you by these other fine partners: The Duck Hole and Company, Rig'em Right Outdoors, Flight Day Ammunition, AV's Hunting Gear, and Northern Duck Calls. I'll tell you more about these partners later in the show. Just finished an amazing dinner. Put some beef sirloin, shrimp, and zucchini squash on the grill. Man, there's nothing like grilled food. Between the regular grill and the pellet smoker I have here, we barely cook inside during the summer. So like I said, it's hard to replicate that taste. And, you know, if you live in the northern climates, you're stuck inside all winter, you know, limited to what you're cooking on the stove or the toaster oven or takeout or whatever. And man, when that weather breaks, it's nice to get that grill going. And man, just had a great dinner. Girls are home from college and med school, and it's fun to be able to get the grill going and cook for a bunch of people again instead of trying to make two little dinners for Karen and I. Unsuccessful on Iowa buck tag draw, unfortunately. So that's 5 years now I've been putting in for this tag. I'm trying to get drawn in zone 5, which is probably the most popular zone. Probably one of the best zones, if not the best zone in the state. So point creep is real. A lot of people took 6 points to get this year, and some even 7, I heard. So I hope we don't have to wait 2 more years. But the good news is the vacation time I had set aside thinking I was going to draw this year will allow me to duck hunt more. So silver lining, right? I got the audio podcast feed connected to the YouTube channel now. So if you prefer to listen there, all the episodes of the audio podcast will be available there moving forward. I'm also working on getting the full video podcast episodes uploaded as well. That's going to take me a little bit of time. I think there is a way through my podcast platform that hosts to automatically upload those as well, but I haven't looked into it enough. I've manually uploaded a few. It's pretty simple. The software that I use to record the podcasts really streamlined my workload, and I can make videos and shorts and reels and little audio clips very easy. So as time permits, I'm gonna keep getting those uploaded. I know a lot of you have asked about watching the full videos, so those are going to be available on the YouTube channel as well. If you can do me a favor, I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe to the channel and check out all of the video content over there. I'm focusing on building my YouTube channel following now. I've got the Instagram following pretty well on its way. It's up over 12,000 now, I think. So I can't thank you all enough for that. It's been amazing. But I want to get the YouTube channel built up so I could start bringing more content there. Just round out the video side of this audio podcast and bring you stuff that everybody would like to see and enjoy, hopefully. I have a whole season of waterfowl hunting videos posted there. I got 13 uploaded from my first season last year, plus some other tips, reviews, unboxing videos, and a couple other things on there. So that would help me out tremendously if you could do those things, and I thank you very much. Big happy 250th birthday to the U.S. Army. I'm a proud son of an Army Airborne Ranger, and it's incredible to think without the Army, we wouldn't even have a country. You know, starting back in 1775 during the American Revolution, against all odds, against the greatest land and sea Army and Navy in the world at the time. And, you know, obviously, I feel like divine providence had a big hand in that. God had big plans for the United States of America, and he delivered. And I think it's important that we recognize that milestone. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, with a lot of countries, 250 years doesn't seem like a lot or sound like a lot, but for our experiment here in the United States of America and what we've accomplished in 250 years, I think it's pretty amazing. I don't know if you got to check out the parade. I thought that was very tastefully done, very respectful, and bringing a lot of respect and honor to a lot of people that earned it. A lot of bloodshed, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of unknown, uncertainty, fear. I mean, you name it, those guys over the last 250 years doing what had to be done to make this country what it is today. And it's not always perfect. You know, I know, especially in this day and age, the United States can get a bad rap on things. But overall, you know, the Army is certainly is and has been a force for good around not only our continent, but around the globe. So I hope you got a chance to see that. If you haven't, they've got some streaming videos on YouTube. Believe it or not, C-SPAN, I think, had one of the best coverages. They did a good job of showing all the different parade routes and some of the crowd and some of the political and celebrity guests. You know, they just weren't focused on one thing or the other. So if you get a chance to check that out, if you haven't seen it, I would recommend that they start out the parade with the uniforms designed based on the Revolutionary War uniforms. And then they go through all the different eras of the military up through the World Wars, the Vietnam era, Korean War era, the modern era, the desert wars. And it's pretty neat. They show the different uniforms and the different equipment. And on the C-SPAN one anyway, they had a journalist and one Army Sergeant Major, I think he was, and then an Army General. And they were each kind of giving their take on things, and they were pretty versed on Army history. And it was just really interesting. I really enjoyed seeing that, especially being the son of a Army Airborne Ranger, like I said. It meant a lot to me to see that and see that honor and respect bestowed upon them. And the last thing I wanted to touch on was the public land sell-off that's going on. I'm sure any of you that are on social media have seen all the posts about some of the public lands they're trying to sell to private entities. A lot of it is lands that are open to U.S. citizens to go hunting on, hiking, boating, kayaking, the whole bit. But, you know, they're not making any more of it. It's very important that we stand up and fight for those public lands. Contact your representatives. I've been doing it for weeks because I think it was in one proposal, and then we had to do a round of fighting to get that stopped, and now they're trying to slide it through on some other bill now. I don't have it in front of me to give you the details, but if you go to any organizations like Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, I know Field and Stream has done a piece about it. Meat Eater's really good about keeping up with that and keeping the public informed. And they make it real easy. They all have links. You just click, put your zip code in, or your address and zip code, and all of your representatives pop up. Everything's pre-filled out. You can change it up. That's what I like to do. I don't like to send the form letter that they have. I like to put in, you know, especially people that I voted for. I say Mr. or Mrs. or Congressman or Representative, Senator, whoever. You know, I voted for you, and I agree with a lot of the things that you've done to help this country, but this is something that is unacceptable, and we can't have this going on. It's one of the beauties of having public land in this country. It separates us from a lot of the other developed world. You know, it kept the public lands open for the average person. You didn't have to be an aristocrat or royalty or anything like that to have access to these lands, and you still don't. And that's the way it needs to stay. They can't be piecing this up. Like I said, we're losing habitat left and right, not only for the animals, but for the residents of this country. We can't afford to let this happen to our public land. So very important to me. I'm sure it's very important to a lot of you. Even if you never plan on going out there or don't have the means to go out there, that helps the ducks that we want to hunt. That helps the geese. That helps all manner of mammals and birds and wildlife. Having those open, unmolested, free roaming places for them to go. It's just, like I said, it's super important. And I've been blessed to travel this country with my family and by myself to so many pieces of public land from one ocean to the other. And it's just really near and dear to my heart. And I'm appreciative that we still have that in our country, in our society. And I think it's super important for us to stand up for that. So on this episode of the Migration Waterfowl Podcast, I'll be talking with my friend Elliot Snyder. I'm so blessed to have met Elliot through this podcast and over several trips out west to hunt and visit with him, and all of the back and forth communications in between. We've become really good friends. I say it all the time, the people I meet and get to know is the best part of doing this podcast. It really makes all the hard work worth it for sure. We discuss our recent experiences at Myers Family Farm in Missouri and the boat trip we recently took on the Kansas River. As you may have heard me say, Myers Family Farm is a duck hunting property managed by Ben Myers, owner of Flight Day Ammunition, and some of his family members. Elliot and I also talk about Elliot's experiences touring and hunting Myers Family Farm last season. We talk about the new duck hole we helped Ben cut into a section of flooded timber on the property, and the fun we had shooting clay targets after the work was done. We also talk about the unique hunting techniques that are employed in places like private ground with flooded timber in Missouri, and the differences compared to other hunting locations we are used to. We also get into shooting practice, the benefits of bismuth ammo, and preparations for a float trip that Elliot was hosting through his freelance duck hunting YouTube channel and his North American Waterfowler podcast. Elliot gives some insights on dog training for hunting tests, and we talk about our goals for the upcoming hunting season. We wrap up with reflections on our friendship and the importance of Christian fellowship. I'm sure most of you are already following Elliot on his YouTube channel and his podcast, but if you're not, you're missing out because he's been putting out great content for years, so go check it out. Thank you to God for blessing us with another opportunity to get together for another episode. So let's get into episode number 60. Welcome back to another episode of the Migration Waterfowl Podcast. I appreciate you all joining me here for another episode. I'm coming to you from Northeast Kansas. I've got my friend Elliot Snyder here tonight. How's it going tonight, Elliot?
It's going good. It's been fun. having you here, and everything's going wonderful. It's been a great weekend.
It really has. I can't thank you and Beth enough for always being so gracious with your home and your hospitality. I just always enjoy myself here thoroughly, and really thankful for our friendship.
Yeah, we normally don't host non-duck season, so it's been really fun. We love having guests and people we value here, so it's been a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, my reason for coming out west this time was to go down and check out the Myers family farm over in Missouri. That's about how far from you?
An hour and 45.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Elliot finished teaching for the year and had some free time this summer and said, I might try to come down there with you. So we were able to make that happen. And you've been down there several times last year.
Bunch times, yeah. Yeah, bunch times. It's a cool place.
Yeah.
It's fun just going down there and seeing it. And I wanted to see you see it for the first time because it's a magical place. It really is.
So talk a little bit about the hunting down there and why it's so special.
Well, they're located in an area that's just full of ducks. There's so much in that area that attracts ducks, so many different complexes. They're in a great flyway. And then they've got flooded timber with acorns, which is hard to come by. So it's just the perfect recipe to be a fantastic hunting spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do all this off-season work, and it just produces. I mean, it's just when the ducks get in there, they just don't leave. It's just Mallard just absolutely love the place.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing to see the work that's been done over there. Even some of the mistakes they may have made early on in the 70s, Ben was talking about. Seems like the ducks even love those holes, even though they're not 100% happy with the way that they were designed originally.
Right. I mean, the ducks land in the holes and then swim out into the timber. And like I was telling you, I've not hunted much flooded timber at all. When you walk through there in the dark and you can hear those mallards quacking off, what do you say, there's 110 acres of flooded timber out there. It's just incredible. And it's an incredible place. And I've been blessed to be able to get to hunt it last year with Ben.
Absolutely.
And it was a down year for them. It's like the poorest year in 10. And we had, in November, we did not do well. I mean, we had some hunts where it were just bad hunts.
Right.
The mallard just weren't down yet. But once they got down, all of the hunts would be kind of mediocre for them. And I thought they were really great, really fun, you know.
Sure. So talk a little bit about what we got into yesterday. Ben had a pretty ambitious plan for a day of work.
Yeah, so I didn't know he was going to do this. I guess he's been thinking about it for 2.5 years. He wanted to open up. There's a section of timber that there's no holes in, and the ducks just traditionally get in that area whether there's holes or not. And it's actually the part of Myers Family Farms that he has full access and full control over. So he wanted to cut a little 30 by 30 hole in there because the ducks are already using it all the time. So he wants to cut a little 30 by 30 hole to make it with no blinds, no dry ground, just go in there and stand in there and just get him dropping down through the canopy. And so I don't see any reason why it's not going to be fantastic. He and his nephew were both like, the ducks are always in this area. So I think it'll work great, hopefully. It'll be fun to find out.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch, being from Pennsylvania. You know, we don't have a lot of flooded timber except for naturally occurring things or when rivers are flooded up into new places. When we're scouting, we're always thinking like to set up where the ducks want to come in and where they want to land. It's almost hard to imagine them dropping straight into a little hole like that.
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't have a lot of flooded timber experience either, but they love those acorns and they love being in there. So you give them a little hole and they're going to drop down into it. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I think like how Ben likes to say it, they'll be dropping in like pumpkins.
Yeah, he loves saying that.
So that's going to be something, like I said, you know, to picture that, you think, oh, we got to take some more trees out. But in his mind and his experience there, the way that those ducks can move, and it's, you know, we've seen enough videos and hunts before that they're pretty agile through those timber, through the standing timber. It's going to be pretty impressive to go back and see that in the fall.
It is. We'll see how it plays out. You know, they've got four or five holes already we know the ducks use. So if the ducks don't go into that hole, it won't be any big deal, you know. But I bet they will.
Yeah.
Ben knows that place. He's been hunting it since he was a little boy. So he knows it like the back of his hand. And if he thinks they'll drop in there, I think he knows what he's talking about.
Sure, sure.
Probably.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, but just a beautiful piece of property between planted crops that they put down and the trail system that they have through there. I mean, it's been set up really nice. And it was just really cool to see all the time that's been done over the years and the work that's been done over the years there.
Yeah, and we've had so much rain lately, there was ankle-deep water through the whole complex, which they don't want that right now. But when you're visiting it, it makes it more fun to see with ankle-deep water out there.
Yeah.
So it was a fun day.
Yeah, he was talking about getting a new side-by-side, and I thought, boy, maybe one of those Argos or something would be perfect for that. But I guess it doesn't experience having that much water in it normally this time of year.
Yeah, and all those vehicles they have, even in the middle of season, go right through that water. Typically, Ben just had that quad, and he would take the gear, and we'd kind of walk behind it.
Yeah.
You know, with what he's wanting to get, it'll be able to transport more equipment and just move around more easily. But
Right. None
of those holes are long walks, so you just park and walk to it. And it's fun, like I said, it's fun walking through the timber in the dark that with mallards screaming all over the place. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out. This episode is brought to you by Bluebird Waterfowl, creator of the Animator. The Animator is revolutionizing the waterfowl community with the world's first spinning wing decoy conversion kit. Turn your existing spinner into a water motion decoy in seconds and learn how to finish more birds with the sound of water. Guaranteed to boost your hunt or your money back. Flaring birds with your spinner is a thing of the past. Try one risk-free at bluebirdwaterfowl.com or at your favorite local outdoor supplier. So what is a major difference between where you hunt here in Kansas and what you experience over there? Because you've hunted some public over there as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we are right on the edge of the eastern deciduous forest, and you go about 150 to 100 miles west, and then you hit the Great Plains. And so where we're at is this transition area where you have some marshes that are kind of timberish, some marshes that are more open. But we don't have any, like, flooded timber. There's no holes that I have that are, like, acorn flooded timber stuff. Ben's is the only one that I know of. So even though we're right on the edge of, you know, the trees, we don't have the traditional flooded timber. We've got holes that are surrounded by timber, but nothing that's actually flooded. So that's what makes it so much different, is these are oak trees, and they're dropping acorns and holes coming down in it. So that it's totally different than anything else that I hunt. Most of what I hunt this side of the state has a lot of trees around it. I mean, you can sit in trees, which makes things so much easier for hiding. You get out on those prairie marshes and hiding from mallards becomes way more difficult.
Sure.
So we've got really neat places, but just nothing like Myers Family Farms on public. Nothing that I know of anywhere close.
Is that pretty typical? Is there a lot of private property that you think that are setting it up the way that he has it?
I think there's a lot of private property. I don't think there's a lot of straight flooded timber.
Okay.
But I didn't know that Ben's existed before last year, so I don't know.
Gotcha.
And I don't know Missouri very well at all. I don't even buy my Missouri license. I'm right on the border, but I just don't have places in Missouri that I really want to hunt. So I had bought my Missouri license a couple of times, but most of those complexes, you have to stand in line and pull a pill. Or, you know, and I just don't want to mess with that. I've got everything I need
in
my state.
Makes it tough for a freelancer.
Right. So I had bought my Missouri license two other times, but I just don't mess with Missouri, even though it's right there. So I don't know how much flooded timber there is. I know there's some areas, I'm sure, in the southern part of Missouri I know have flooded timber.
Yeah.
Close to me, I don't think there's much, but like I said, I didn't know that Ben's existed until last year. So.
Right.
Right. And I don't think there's hardly any in Kansas. You go up and down the border on this east side, I imagine there's probably some in there that I don't know about. There's none that are public. There's none of no flooded timber public in Kansas.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And I don't know of any, maybe in the Boot Hill of Missouri. I don't know that area that well. Because certainly as you get on the southern side of Missouri, the hunting's good and there's lots of trees. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know.
Okay. So that was really cool to get to see that firsthand after hearing the stories and watching some of your videos with Ben. Then we got to shoot a little trap, too.
We did.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was a good way to end the day. We went through 2 full boxes of clay targets. How many? I don't know. How many clays are in a box? 100?
Probably 50 or 100, I'd guess.
It's got to be. I know I went through 50 shells myself.
Yeah.
Right around 50, and we all shot about the same, so,
right,
you know, 150, but that was fun. We sat there and looked out over the, there's an area where you can park out there at Ben's place that when the mallards are flying, you can see them flying over the timber, and we were looking into that and just throwing clays and shooting and hanging out, and it was a good time. It was good because I spent a lot of time with Ben, and you haven't had a chance to do that, so right, it was a good right. time for you just to kind of get to know him, because he's fun to be around.
Sure,
he's a real fun guy. He's just enjoyable to be around.
Absolutely.
So that was great.
Yeah, and I brought my 12 gauge, my Beretta A400, which is my staple for duck hunting, and I have a Remington 1100 20 gauge that I haven't shot in years, but felt good to knock the dust off of it, and shot pretty decent.
Yeah, you did. You shot real well.
I think we all did.
Yeah, it was fun. I stuck with my 18i. I just, if I feel comfortable with a gun and I'm shooting well with it, it's like I'm not going to mess around. Because right. I want, when I'm shooting clays, I want to increase my confidence.
Yeah.
I don't want, I mean, we talked about it that, you know, all of us have shot so much that if we're not shooting well at this point, it's in our heads.
Absolutely.
And if I start off with my Weatherby 18i and I'm nailing them, I'm not going to switch guns.
Right.
I want, from that experience, I want to build confidence.
Yeah.
And so it's like, do you want to use this gun? Nope, I'm killing them. I'm going to stick right with this. And by the end of the day, I'm going to feel good about my shooting going out and not feel like, oh, I had an off day.
For sure. And Ben had a new 28 gauge. And I had never shot a 28 gauge before. And surprisingly, right out of the gate, I busted the first clay pigeon.
Yeah.
And I said, this thing works pretty good. I probably should have quit then. But I did pretty well with it. I think I hit more targets than not. So a lot of people, I see duck hunting with them nowadays. I'm like, 28 gauge, but gets the job done, apparently.
A beautiful little gun, that's for sure. I was 1 for 3 on that gun, and it's a beautiful little gun. It didn't quite fit me perfectly, but it's a beautiful little gun.
The weight difference, I can get behind that for sure.
Yeah, when I naturally pull up a gun and look at it, I need to be automatically looking down the barrel, and I wasn't with that gun.
Yeah.
With all my 18 eyes, I have, when I shoulder them, I'm right down the barrel.
Perfect.
And I don't know what the difference is and how they're made. I know you can adjust that stuff with shims. I don't know how to do that. But I've had other guns that are that I've owned. My Beretta A300, I did not fit me well. And I did not shoot well with it. But my Weatherbys, every time I pull it up, I'm straight down the barrel. So, and that 28 gauge for a reason, I wasn't.
Sure, sure. So let's talk a little bit about flight day ammo. You had a whole season behind you now, with some mostly bismuth you were shooting.
Yeah, I shot all bismuth. Like I think I shot 6s for teal, if I'm not mistaken, and 4s for mallards. I think I can't remember 5s maybe. I don't remember, but it's great. It's fantastic. It's good stuff.
Yeah,
I loved it.
This episode is also brought to you by the Duck Hole & Company, Attracting Feathers Together. They are a full-service habitat company located in North Carolina. If you have questions about waterfowl habitat or need some work done on your property, contact them through any of their social media platforms at the Duck Hole & Company. They can also fix you up with golden millet, also known as the duck buffet, and the best bang for your duck. So what are the major differences you think off the top of your head that you saw from stuff that you've shot in the past?
Well, I do not extend my range. very much at all. And so I have used bismuth of one type or another three times in my life. And what I have realized with it is that I can take that 35 to 45 yard shot a little more often than I do and feel confident in that shot. If I'm shooting inside 35 yards, I don't think it makes much difference.
Yeah.
My numbers show it doesn't make much difference. But I started feeling a little more comfortable with, you know, if on the days where the ducks aren't finishing, taking that 40-yard shot with the bismuth loads, I started feeling a little more comfortable doing that. I could tell I had a little more power to it, mm-hmm. a little more better hit rate when I took those shots. That was the difference I noticed.
Okay. Yeah, it's really great to be working with a small business and somebody that puts that much time and research into the product and that much care, really. And it was really special when Ben reached out and wanted to start working with me, and he's been working with you for over a year now. So it's exciting, and he's got some new stuff coming out now with the bismuth supply issue, and he's doing some really cool stuff with steel now.
Yeah, he is. It really makes me feel good to talk to him and hear how much research he's done, how much pattern testing he's done. He's used the ballistic gel. He has really been ultra careful about his recipes.
Yeah.
And you just talk to him. If you listen to him, my podcast, I had him on here, and you're going to have him on, I'm sure, as well. He hasn't just thrown this stuff together. He has been very, very careful and meticulous about the patternings. And he and I patterned tons of guns here. It's actually my 18i pattern about the best. I was so pleased. Yeah. My 18i pattern beautifully with that bismuth stuff. But he is just meticulous and very careful with his recipes, which for someone just starting, just a regular guy, that gives me confidence to go ahead and work with him and shoot his ammo.
Absolutely. What choke are you using out of your
main
gun? Modified. Mm-hmm. Is that factory?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The only time I've used an aftermarket was towards the end of last year, and it was like an extended full, and I didn't do well with it. I don't know if it was a mental thing. I'm just going back to my modified.
And
I shoot well with the modified. I'm happy with it, so that's just what I'm going
to
run with.
Right. Yeah, I need to do more of that. And Ben even suggested that. He said, I'd like to see what those factory Beretta chokes do. Mm-hmm. But I've just been so ingrained in using the same choke for the last 10, 15 years. But you can see, especially video, and now, you know, we talk about this all the time. There's so many beautiful things to video on your hunts, having the ability to go back and watch them and have the memories and everything. But you also get to see stuff like shot patterns.
Right.
And, you know, if you're not leading good enough. So I think that's something I got to mess around with more this off season for sure.
Yeah, that's why when you're doing clays, you really should have your shot cam going, which mm-hmm. I didn't either, but because it's so important to know when you're missing, why you're missing.
Right.
When I got my shot cam, I realized that birds in close, I was shooting in front of them a little more than I thought I was. Mm. My misses in close tend to be in front of their nose. And I figured that out with the shot cam.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful tool.
Yeah, that's really cool. So we wrapped up our time in Missouri yesterday, and then you wanted to do a little trip today. Let's talk about what we got into today.
Right. So we've got a big float trip going on with the North American Waterfowler and people from Patreon. And we've been getting so much water lately that our float trip on the Kansas River, I just needed to check how deep the water was, if I thought that there were still going to be places to camp. Just, you know, people coming into town to do this trip, we just needed to run it with the boat and take a look at it and make sure everything was going to be okay for the trip. So that's what we did. It's always fun to run that. I'm not on that river very often, so it's always fun to run. It's not as pretty when the water's up, honestly.
Yeah.
It's prettier. The more exposed sand, the prettier it is. Because mm-hmm. it feels channelized if you don't know it, because they're still there, but it feels more channelized when the water's up. Right, when the water's low, it's a much wilder, cool feeling to it.
Okay.
It really is.
Yeah, that surprised me when you said you didn't spend a whole lot of time over there. You don't waterfowl hunt it much, do you?
I don't, no. It's hard to get access to it mm-hmm. because you have to you have to have permission from a landowner adjacent to it or use a boat ramp. And when it gets good, it's normally there's some ice involved. So finding the birds on it is difficult. I've got a section that I have permission to hunt, that my last good hunt on the Kansas River was from that section, but it's in one isolated little section. So it's just everything has to come together right on that river in order to get a good hunt out of it. Sure. But when you get a good hunt out of it, it's so much fun. In fact, we probably won't have time. I was going to say I should show you a video from one of my favorite videos from that river. We've had some just epic hunts there that are just really fun, but it's hard. It's really difficult to get those to happen.
Right, right. So you got a pretty good crew coming in next week.
Yep.
With 10, 12 people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, they're going to start out staying at my house on Thursday, and then we're going to hit the river Friday, sleep on the sandbars Friday and Saturday, and come out on Sunday. So hopefully we'll be catching fish and cooking it up. Yeah, it should be really fun. I'm going to take the big boat and just kind of float it beside for extra coolers and whatnot. And
yeah.
But yeah, it should be really fun.
So what's the method of choice for fish cooking?
That Louisiana, I use this for ducks too. It's like that Louisiana Cajun fish fry stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just some of that, some oil, a skillet, cut them into little pieces and fry them up right
really
on the
good.
Fire. Yeah.
This episode is also brought to you by Rig'em Right Waterfowl, producers of the most well-designed and well-built products, tried and tested by the most heavily seasoned hunters on the planet. Their mission has always been and will always be to design, build, and supply the most innovative and high-performance hunting products available at a reasonable price. They will not succumb to outside pressure to cheapen their products, and will continue to take bold steps and huge risks to separate themselves from their competition. They dominate in customer service, knowing that their end-use customers are the very backbone of their existence. Above all else, they operate with honesty and integrity and treat people fairly, never compromising these principles in pursuit of profit. Check them out at rig'emright.com or your favorite local outdoor retailer.
You know, last time we went out there, we caught our Aiden and Zach were with us, and they had their bows, and they either shot or caught some gar. And you hear that gar is just kind of a trash fish, and we cooked those things up. That the meat of a gar is the whitest, flakiest meat. It is absolutely delicious. I don't know how they got a bad name. It's kind of hard to cook them because they've got those like armor plates on them.
Yeah, big scales.
Cut the head off, cut the tail off, wrap it in tin foil, put some like lime or lemon zest in it, and then just leave the scales on there. When it comes out of the fire, those scales just fall off.
Right.
But it is just the whitest meat. It's so good. So we'll be eating gar or catfish, whatever we catch. We'll probably be more catfish is what we'll catch on lines, but... Sure. I hope we catch some gar, too.
Yeah. You're going to do a little nighttime swimming under the stars?
Probably so. Yeah. We've got our tent cots with us. Oh, I've got three tent cots. We got a bunch of kayaks. So we'll do about 5 or 6 miles. And then set up. We'll probably be to camp 1 at 2 or 3 o'clock. And then we'll have the whole afternoon to fish and set up camp and just being out there. Like when you and I went out there today, I just wanted to sit for a while. We're at the sandbar. Now we're just going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, now we're just going to be here because there's no one else around. It's that immersion feeling.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
No one's around. We didn't see anyone else. We saw that one guy in a kayak on the
right on the way out. Yep.
So a lot of these trips for me is getting that feeling again.
Sure.
Like, I'm just going to sit here and have a beer. Just feel like there's, I don't know why I like being away from people so much. I love being away from people. People suck.
Yeah, we're becoming grumpy old men, I think.
Yeah. There's a little indigo bunting right out there beside that cardinal. We've been seeing indigo buntings all weekend.
Yeah.
Gorgeous little birds.
Beautiful birds. So you got some dog training trials coming up.
Yep.
And we did a little bit of work today on that.
We got her to cheat a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's right.
She corrected it, though.
Yeah, she did. She knew. She was a little overdramatic about the correction because I didn't hit her with one hard enough for how she reacted to it. But, yeah, we've got some hunt tests coming up. Georgie is two passes away to having her AKC Master Hunter title. And so we've got a test this week and then a test on the 20th. And so what we were trying to do is, and we had a discussion about this, which was interesting, is that some of the, and I don't know how much you want me to go into actually the logistics of this stuff, but I was trying to get Georgie to run on the bank instead of running on the water so I could give her a correction and remind her that you need to go from A to Z straight line to the mark, whether it's through water, don't be running the bank, you got to straight through the water.
Right.
So the first time we tried it, she didn't cheat at all. So, but I wanted to get her in a situation where I could correct her, because the last hunt test, it was a real, there's some of these, it's like really tempts dogs to do it and others don't. So the first time we couldn't get her to do it, we found another sandbar and set it up, and she didn't do it bad, but she did a little bit of a cheat, and I was able to stop her and give her a little collar correction and remind her that, you know, of what she's supposed to do. Yeah. And on the third one, she was perfect.
Right.
The third one, she, because even on the second one, I let her get by away from it. She stayed in the water, but she was still sucking to that shore a little bit. And then that third one was perfect. She went straight to it. So hopefully that she will do it properly in the hunt test.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, at first glance, like I mentioned to you, I thought, well, man, it almost seemed to be more efficient for a dog to run the bank and get that bird, especially if it's a wounded bird. But the foundations and the techniques that you explained to me, how, you know, you want them on that straight line for times when they can't see that, or they have to go over obstacles or something like that, once they lose that line, and it makes perfect sense now.
Right. And I was the same way. When we started this hunt test stuff, I was telling my dad, I want my dog to get there as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. If this is a broken wing mallard or something, I don't want my dog swimming in a straight line. Right. I want my dog getting there as fast as humanly possible. And on those short marks, that's true. But so in the training, you're using small scenarios to set up larger scenarios. So like we talked about, if you're in a cattail marsh and you see your duck go down and it's 150 yards away, you're going to mark it in your mind where it is, and you're going to walk a straight line to that bird. Because if you walk a semicircle to that bird, you're not going to know where it landed.
Sure.
And it's the same way for a dog. On a 40-yard mark, a dog can see the bird in the water. Sure, if they run around the bank, it's faster and more efficient for them to do it. If it's a 150-yard mark where the dog's got to go through water, over land, up onto a bank, if they don't take that straight direct line, they're not going to be able to remember where that bird is.
Right.
Now, they might be able to run all the way around and get up there and put on a big search and a hunt and use their nose. But, I mean, dogs have good noses, but they still have to be in the general area. Mm-hmm. And I've seen multiple examples where if my dog or other dogs, if they cheat the bank, by the time they get out to where they think it is, they don't really know where it is anymore. And now they're 50 yards off of it, and now they're 100 yards off of it, and they never get it.
Right.
So the whole point of running the straight line is so that when they get to that 100-yard, 150-yard, you know, if it's a 50-yard bent down bird, you can run over there and shoot it, mm-hmm. you know. It's those long retrieves that you want your dog to take that straight line to, so that they can keep the line. And when they get to where they think the bird is, now they're in the area, and then they can use their nose and actively, with no wind. I mean, if you get a strong wind, a dog can maybe wind something from quite a ways away, but not always. I mean, sometimes, you know, dogs don't always smell things from long distances away. Sure. So you just want them to give them the best chance to get to the area and be able to find the bird. And that's where the straight line comes into play.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. This episode is also brought to you by Flight Day Ammunition. Flight Day Ammo was born in the heart of the Mississippi Flyway in west central Missouri. Founder Ben Myers and his family have duck hunted this region of the country for over 50 years. Ben's passion for quality ammunition led to the development of his own brand. Flight Day utilizes the best components in the ammo industry, which provides unmatched quality, patterns, and lethality. Check them out at flightdayammo.com and be sure to use discount code MW10 at checkout to save 10%. So you were saying that you were going to try to get everything wrapped up. What was it, five more runs, you were saying?
So we're trying to qualify for the Master National Amateur, which is next spring in Wisconsin. So she needs six passes total to have her Master Hunter title, which she's got four now.
Okay.
But she's got to have four passes this summer to qualify to participate in the Master National Amateur. So you've got the Master, we're running Master tests now, but the Master National event is like the next step up from that. It's like, okay, now all the dogs that have gotten their Master title, now we're going to put them all in one centralized place. The tests are going to be a little harder. And if you pass this, I don't know actually if you have to just pass it one time to get your title or two, I'm not sure, but then that would give you your Master National Amateur title. And then they've got a Master National where it's amateurs and pros.
Yeah.
But the Master National Amateur tests are about the same as the Master National tests. It's just there's so many pros involved in this, because with a pro, if you get these titles on your dogs, the pups are worth more, the stud fees are worth more. I mean, if you've got a female dog, you're like, hey, I want to have some puppies. Can I use your dog as a stud? And the dog has passed the Master National, the Grand. I mean, the fee you're going to have to, that you can charge for that dog goes through the roof.
Sure.
Because you know the dog has the ability to be a top 1% dog on the planet.
Okay.
And so a lot of this for the pros is just that.
Yeah.
And they've got clients that are paying them to train it, and their clients want them to put these titles on their dogs so that when they're running them, you know, with their buddies in the winter, they're my dogs, you know, this and that and whatever. But they have that one event that's just for amateurs only. So that's no pros, just amateurs. But the tests themselves are about equal level of difficulty is my understanding. So we're going to try, we've got our HRC title, which is a hunting retriever champion title. And now we're moving to get our Master Hunter title. And then I thought it'd be fun if we qualified. My friend's dog's he trains more than I do, so his dog's a little more dialed in than Georgie is, a little more consistent on everything. And he's like, well, what do you say we qualify and go up there? And I'm thinking, we can take the wives, get an Airbnb, you know, go up north in late June up to Wisconsin. Yeah. I'm like, let's do it. Let's try it. So that's the goal. We need four passes this summer to get that done. I'm hoping she runs the table, because these things are like $110 each, plus travel, plus staying. It's kind of a pricey deal.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that she runs the table. We already have our first pass. Then we got this week. That'd be our second pass. That'd be our fifth. Then we got one more in Nebraska on the 20th of June. That would be her title. And then we'd just have to find one more test to qualify for the Master National Amateur. And I'm hoping that she runs the table on those, because I do not want to have to try to do another one. Because that would mean going out to Flatlander Kennels, because they've got double. Some of these professional places, they run events at their kennel so that they can just get their dogs passed without having to. Because, like, Chris Jobman will run 30 dogs in an event. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to take 30 dogs to someplace, that's a huge thing. They've got to have. Sure. I mean, they've got these huge gooseneck trailers, and they put all their dogs on it. They travel all these distances. It's a huge thing. So these professional trainers will have double masters throughout a week at their actual location. So they'll have like one will run Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and one will run Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. So they can get a lot of their dogs two passes right there at their home without having to travel.
Makes a lot of sense.
And so if she doesn't run the table 4 for 4 this summer, we'll probably have to go out to Flatlander Kennel, which is an 8-hour drive for one of the double masters, and try to finish it up there. And I love going out to Flatlander Kennels. Which, plug, I've got a podcast called the Flatlander Kennels Podcast with Chris Jobman, with about all this dog hunt test stuff. But I'm just trying to avoid that 8-hour drive this summer.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. All you dog owners and guys that do a lot of dog training, check out that podcast. I know LA goes into a lot of depth with Chris, and people seem to really enjoy that are in the dogs.
Yeah. If you're looking to really finally tune your hunting dog, Chris over there, he's got his whole flow chart. Like, we go through every episode from puppy clear to a finished dog, whether you're running hunt tests or not. He's going through the process. If you want to be able to run blinds with your dog in the field, handle your dog, basic obedience, all of that stuff. We've got Jobman's flowchart over there that runs through the entire process.
Awesome.
And that's what I will single-handedly use when I train my next dog.
Yeah.
Is that flowchart.
Okay. So looking ahead to hunting season, is your schedule kind of coming together yet?
It is. Our next hunt will be together. Our very first hunts will be together, yeah, if everything works out. So you're coming up for that teal opener. And we're looking to hunt a different place than we've hunted before. So Elijah and I are going out in July, and we're going to scout this place out. And hopefully we're going to like what we see.
Right.
And that will be our opening weekend. Yeah, but I'm pretty much, my whole calendar is pretty much locked down until Thanksgiving.
Okay.
As far as when I'm going to, where, generally where I'm going to be and what trips I'm taking.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, I don't know what marshes I'm going to hunt, but it's like, oh, sure, I'm going to travel this weekend. That opener, we know where we're basically going. The next weekend, Beth and I are going to Vegas. The weekend after that, I'm back here hunting teal. And so it's like, I've got it. If you look at my calendar, every weekend almost is in there and noted clear, right, till almost, right, Thanksgiving.
Is it going to be pretty similar to your last couple of years? You, yep, got anything new?
No, it's going to be almost the same. I may, okay, take two trips out to the Nebraska instead of one. That's still up in the air, depending. I love that area so much, I just can't stay away from, yeah, it. So there may be, if I get that hot tent, that, you know, that hot tent trip, mm-hmm, I was telling you about, yep, Elijah and I are just dying to do that.
I bet.
Whole idea. So I don't have that hot tent secured. If I have that, Elijah and I may do that in October and just go and immerse ourselves out there, and whatever we shoot, we shoot. So the whole idea, if you don't listen to my podcast, North American Waterfowler, is that there's a national forest in Nebraska that is just miles and miles of vastness. And the duck hunting is, it's fine. It's not great. People don't travel to duck hunt, but there are some ducks there. And there are grouse and prairie chickens there. And so I have explored this place and realized that you get back in the middle of it and you just don't see any other people. So I want to go back with a hot tent. You can camp, you can legally camp in this area. I want to go back with a hot tent and spend like 3 days just not seeing another soul and trying to shoot a handful of ducks and a handful of prairie chicken.
Yeah.
And just, I want to be in there. And so the goal isn't necessarily limits on that. The goal is just to live in that area and feel like just the longer you are in an area, you just kind of absorb into it. I don't know if you've ever done, like when we were our first teal hunt, mm-hmm, we went out there in the evening.
Right.
We spent the night. We did a nice long hunt the next day. Normally, if you hit that about 24-hour mark of being in a marsh,
sure,
you just kind of like absorb into it. It's, yeah, a different feeling.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of what Elijah and I want with that trip. It's just, we just want to absorb into that countryside and, yeah, just feel it. Sun comes up, sun comes down, sun comes up, and you're right there. So if I can get my hands on that hot tent, we may still do that in October.
Okay.
Hopefully, because I can't stop thinking about that. Just daydreaming about it all the time. Yeah. I'm daydreaming about our first weekend, because I haven't seen that place yet, and I'm daydreaming about that.
You'll have to let me know. Hopefully, it's not the weekend I'm on family vacation, but I might have to come out and scout that with you guys.
Okay. I'll start looking at dates.
Yeah.
Because it's open. It's open. A lot of it depends on this little one, sure, and how, whether she passes or not, because there are some other tests in Nebraska that I might have to try to line it up with. But yeah, I can start looking at dates if you want to come with us.
Okay.
It's the fishing's supposed to be phenomenal out there.
Yeah.
So, and it's right now, it's just Elijah and I doing it, and we're going to take the tent cots and just, right, tent cot it, right, out there. So for sure. Yeah. We can start playing around with dates here with it this week. We can start looking at when the dog hunting events are, and
sure,
and that kind of
that's
deal.
Coming up quick. We're already getting into the second week of June here.
That might actually really, really help me, because Elijah's got to work, and so if I match this up with a dog test event, Elijah can't be gone that long.
Yeah.
So you could always swing through, grab Elijah,
sure,
and then meet me out there after the dog. That might actually work really well. Yeah. So, because we're going to have to get our next one more dog test in.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll start looking at dates. That'd be fun to have you on that trip.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'm excited to announce that AV's Hunting is now the official hunting clothing and camo of Migration Waterfowl. The unmatched quality of their high-performance fabrics and direct-to-consumer sales model delivers high-end gear at wholesale pricing. Their unique camouflage pattern was built from the sky down, mimicking the natural camouflage of a hen mallard. Check out their innovative line of technical waterfowl clothing and their revolutionary refuge camo at avshunting.com. That's avshunting.com. Advanced waterfowl gear designed for every condition.
So what about goals? You kind of going to try to repeat what you did last year? You got any changes in your goals for this season?
Well, I know when, in my podcast, I talked about lost birds and minimizing my lost birds. I typically have like a set goal that I want to play around with. Last year, I decided I got to stop worrying about shooting percentage so much. Mm-hmm. Because for a while, the shooting percentage was my goal just for fun to see how I could get it. And I found myself not pulling the trigger sometimes when I wish that I would, just because I was becoming too obsessed about it.
Yeah.
So I took that off of myself, and my shooting percentage did drop about 10%. But I still don't take crazy stuff. So I don't know. I don't really have any goals. I want to minimize how many birds I lose, but I don't really have any set statistical goals.
Yeah.
For this year. Maybe, you know, here would be a good goal, because I added to the app the satisfaction score. Mm-hmm. If I could have my overall satisfaction score be 7 or higher, but then I don't want to taint my judgment on it because I'm trying to reach my goal, because
right,
I get to
right.
decide. But so I am really interested to see how that satisfaction score plays out. So after you get done with the hunt, you rank how much you enjoyed it 1 to 10, and yeah. then there's an average for the whole. Whatever date right. range you sort right. it by is your average. Last year, mine was, because I went and backlogged it, like 6.6. The year before that, it was 7. So you can go back year after year and be like, I know that I enjoyed my hunts on average this year more than any other year.
Right.
But it's just like anything else I can attest. If you get a couple like ones or twos in there, it screws your whole average.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Elijah and I had a run over Thanksgiving where we were just...
Or skunks in PA.
Yeah, a few skunks in there, and that overall satisfaction score is going to plummet.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, you can have some skunks that still aren't going to rank as a 1 or 2 or 3. It just yeah. depends on what
yeah.
happens,
just
right?
Just depends on the experience, yeah. And he's talking about the North American Waterfowler app. We've talked about it. We've had Elliot on a couple of times. Check that out if you haven't already, if you guys like to keep track of your stats throughout the season. I've never seen a better way to do it, and I've tried a bunch of different ways over the years.
Well, I've made it how I want it, and I'm certainly a hardcore North American waterfowler, and I've looked at a lot of other apps, and I've never seen one that logs the things that I want logged.
Right.
I want dog retrieves. I want to be able to put in pictures. I want all of my individual bird numbers, and I want my group bird numbers. I want to be able to connect to my friends so I can see what their numbers are. I want to be able to connect with a friend and see what our group numbers are. And all of that's there. I yeah. personally want to keep my shooting percentage, although most people don't want to keep that stat, but I do. And so I've never seen another, and I want to be able to track weather patterns.
Sure.
When I look at the other competitor apps, they don't do what I want them to do.
Right.
So I think it is the most comprehensive tracker of data on your hunts.
Yeah, for
is
sure.
Is what I believe.
Yeah, I agree for sure. I really enjoyed using it last year, and not just seeing your own stuff, but I could see like all of our friends, how they're doing and tracking right. how their season's going. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you cannot see anyone's location data. Even if you connect with a friend, right. you can't see their right. location data.
Yeah. That
does not transfer.
Yeah. So Elliot won't be looking for your spots. Not that he needs to.
I know. I did get an early review on the app. It's like, this app is trash. He's just trying to steal your spots. Like, what are you talking about? Someone just didn't like me or something.
Right,
like I couldn't
right.
go in and find your spots if I even tried.
So I saw a really nice, fancy new camera you got.
Yeah.
It's going to be some really great footage coming to the freelance duck hunting channel.
It's
on
awful
YouTube.
Big. It's awful big. The Panasonic X 20, which my last camera got wet on a hunt and got ruined. And I was just going to reorder that camera because I needed one fast. I could not find it anywhere.
Yeah.
So I started doing a lot of research. I'm like, wow, this camera looks like it's only about $300 more. And it's got a better zoom. It's got a little better everything. A little bit, runs 60 frames per second. Versus I was running 30. So the difference is, like, birds in the air, they should be a little more smoother because you have more frames per second. But I never stopped to think, like, how big is this camera? And it, compared to my last camera, it's pretty big. So that thing came in the mail and I pulled it up. I'm like, oh, holy crap. this is bigger than what I was thinking. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking size. But I am happy with the picture quality and everything. So we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be fun to play with.
Yeah. Any changes coming to the YouTube channel? Anything different this year?
Nope. Not really. Man, I'm just keep doing the things I'm doing. I mean, this is year number 11.
It's
so
not broke, don't fix it.
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's pretty much how I do things. I record things, what I want to see. And what I want to see in 5 years is what I record. So.
Sure.
And my mood on the day. So some days I'm talking more. Some days I'm talking less. It's just, I'm still just hitting record so 20 years from now I can watch my hunts.
Right.
So right. It's not much is changing.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Appreciate you, all the hospitality that you and Beth have shown me. And just can't thank you enough, buddy. I want to give you a chance to plug everything you got going on. We pretty much covered all of that, but let everybody know where they can find you.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you very much also. It's fun having you here. It's fun, the friendship we've developed. And it's just another example of the joy that have come from having a YouTube channel, having a podcast, and the relationships. It's just fantastic. So you can watch all my hunts over the last 10 years at Freelance Duck Hunting on YouTube. My main podcast is the North American Waterfowler Podcast, where I'm putting out 6 to 8 episodes every month. You can see the video form of that on Spotify app or on YouTube. And then the other podcast is the Flatlander Kennels Podcast with Chris Job. And that's only 2 or 3 episodes a month. And that is specifically in-depth dog training knowledge. And then the North American Waterfowler app, that's on iOS and Android. And it's just on the website as well. Actually, it looks the best on the website. So. It's a long list of stuff that I've messed around with, and good Lord.
Yeah. Speaking of the good Lord, not only does duck hunting bring these type of great friendships, but finding a great Christian friend is another amazing way to enrich your relationship, not only in the marshes, but in everything else in your life. Here I am in Kansas, went to a church that I'd never been to before with Elliot, and had an amazing service, really nice people. The fellowship there you could feel. And just a reminder for you that there's great churches out there. If you feel like there's something missing in your life, I urge you to reach out, go try some new churches, try to find some strong Christian men, friends, or females for you ladies out there. And, you know, we certainly don't have all the answers, but Elliot and I are available if you ever have any questions, and we'd be happy to share our testimony and help you out any way we can.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Well said. Thanks for going to church with us. That was fun.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's a good sermon. It sure was. Good sermon. It was. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you coming back again, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
Big thanks again to Elliot for taking time out of his day to join me on the show. And thank you all for tuning into this episode. I really appreciate it. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Migration Waterfowl. We also have a Facebook group for the podcast. Please join us there as well. And if you could, please do me a favor and subscribe to the YouTube channel while you are there. Lots of great content coming that way throughout the rest of the year. We also have a Patreon if you would like to support the show that way. You can go to patreon.com/migrationwaterfowl. You can find the link to our merchandise store in the show notes below or on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Check out our shirts, hoodies, thermoses, coffee, and more over there. And now, through the end of June, 10% of everything we sell will go to Delta Waterfowl. Thank you to everyone who has been purchasing merchandise and supporting the show. If you like what you've heard here, please take a moment and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Send me a message or email after you leave the review, and I will mail you a podcast decal. And get out there and enjoy the outdoors, but make sure you seek out a relationship with the one who created everything. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 21 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And remember, the migration is coming. Be ready when it arrives. Tune in next week to hear another great guest on the Migration Waterfowl Podcast.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Don't chew on that, Max.
Cooper loves that chew, too.
Oh, now he's into Cooper's food. Wow, he is loving it. What do you feed Cooper?
Blue Buffalo Life Protection Formula. He never leaves a crumb. I love it because it's made with high-quality protein, nutrient-rich fruits and veggies, and wholesome whole grains.
Looks like we're switching to Blue. Blue Buffalo foods are made with the superior ingredients your dog needs to thrive. Can your dog food say that? Visit feedbluefood.com to learn more.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.